I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
Wow, that was dramatic.
I'm trying to. No, I was fighting off a yawn, and it didn't work. Boy. It didn't work. I'm yawning anyway.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Being realistic.
As the story grows.
Everybody, thank you for listening. You, right there. You know who I'm talking to. You.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to all the previous and this current chapter of As the Story Grows. My name is Trav, and with me, as always, is Steven. Steven?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm going to drop the cousin and cohort thing. I think
that's
I got...
okay.
Nah, I got to get away from saying the same thing over and over again because it's too formulaic. You know what I mean?
And for some reason, whenever you say cohort, it just reminds me of something like out of Harry Potter. I don't know why. I think it might be the wart sound that...
I don't say wart. I say cohort.
Hort, wart, fort.
Wow. This might be our worst intro yet. Yeah.
This is the best intro ever.
You think so?
All right. Yeah. Oh, this is amazing.
Whatever, man. So, everybody... Man,
holy crap. So, this is an episode that almost never happened.
Oh, jeez, dude.
Yeah. Can we go down that road at all? Is this off limits?
Let's go down that road now. We just won't name any names, but when somebody I'll record with you, and then they don't, and then they'll say, sorry, I'll record in a couple days, and then they don't, and then they say, give me a call, and I call them, and then they don't answer the phone. Like, that kind of screws up a podcast schedule, man.
Yeah, so, I mean... I won't be lying to the folks at home when I say it has affected, I think, this episode a little bit. But we were fortunate enough to get somebody really cool to talk to very last minute, and actually the interview is a little shorter than usual, but that's more because of his schedule than the last minute thing. But It's kind of hard to do this interview thing every single week. Sometimes, you know, people.
We have a list of people that we think are going to be legitimate guests, and we always we were kind of holding them like, okay, let's wait until something goes wrong, and we can call these guys in a last minute emergency, and we went through that list. And those people were like, dude, I can't. Oh no. So
there's a list of people that are like, we kind of need to prepare some things first. And there's some people who are just like, just call them up.
Yep.
But none of those things were ready. And, you know, we kind of put all our eggs in a basket. And
to be honest with you, because of the Soul Amores thing, I already spoke to Alex back when this was Black Vinyl Collective with Jesse, and I've already made arrangements that I'm probably going to be speaking to Jason Wisdom in the future because he's got a lot of cool things to say. Yeah. So becoming the archetype was like off my radar because in the back of my mind, I already have them. And then it hit me where I was like, oh my God, I talk to Hecox like all the time because he moved out to Seattle and he's like becoming like a new diehard Seahawks fan. So him and I jaw back and forth because I'm another West Coast football fan, and his team just whooped on the Niners, and he relentlessly wouldn't let me up from that. And he's following Mariners baseball now, and I'm a Phillies fan. So we kind of jaw back and forth on Twitter about sports and everything. And then it just hit me where I was like, duh. Seth was in Becoming the Archetype. Seth has his own band with Anchors, and he's got like an amazing new direction and moved out to the West Coast. We should talk to him.
Yeah.
So I called him up and he was like, yeah, sure. Give me a call.
Yeah. I mean, that list on both, we have a Rolodex, not a literal Rolodex, but we have a list of people that are like that from so many bands we know, but you know, so many of them are out of state and they're 3 hours behind us or, you know, whatever. So this week was just a crazy week, you know, between our own schedules and getting a guest lined up. But we got something really cool here today.
I reached way up my butt and all the way up at the top. I found Seth Hecox.
Ew. I'm sure he's going to be really flattered by that.
That description. Well, I mean, that's I'm a bitter Niners fan. What can I say?
Oh my God.
Nah.
My eyes keep rolling so hard.
I know. We're gonna turn this into a sports podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, what is this rumor I'm hearing about you that you're going off the grid? What's up with that?
Off the grid.
Yeah. You're going off the grid. You're already off the Facebook grid.
Going off the grid, except I still have a podcast on a weekly basis, and
right. Okay, cable right. TV. That's the
I think we made a family decision. I think I'm going to drop cable. I did DirecTV.
Ew. I'm sorry.
Is that weird that I discussed that with my family?
I'm done, dude. It was like double weird because it was like, why are we talking about this here? And then I was like, and then you said the family decision.
I can't wait to hear what sound effects you drop in there. Just the way you went, ew, as soon as I said it, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh no. Talking to my wife, I was thinking about pinching off my cable.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we're talking.
Well, you need her help, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, it gets ugly. We're talking about getting rid of cable.
Oh, man.
I think
you have Comcast, right? Is that what everybody
has?
No,
we don't even have Comcast up here. No, I have a local company called RCN, and they're fine. I don't hate them or anything.
Yeah, I'm jealous, man. Comcast like owns us, like owns our souls.
I know. I've heard bad things about Comcast. They're the devil.
But, they're like, we know you need us, and therefore we're going to do whatever we want.
Well, get this. I live in one of these developments where the lines are like, we don't have any telephone poles with cables hanging from them. Right. Everything, all the lines are buried in the ground. RCN owns those lines, so I can't even get another cable company.
I know, that's how we are with phone companies out here.
Yeah, like, so it's like if you want cable, you go through us. If you want satellite, which I already did the DirecTV thing. Oh God, it's like every time it drizzles, I lose something. I'm tired of it all. But the main reason isn't because I've decided I'm strong enough to not have to watch television. It's got nothing to do with that. I'm not trying to make a statement. I'm just trying to save some money. I still want to watch some shows, and I'm learning more and more from you and like my buddy Jeremiah Nelson and everything. Hey, Jeremiah, I know you're listening. What's up? Like, you can still see everything. You just have to learn how. There's some ways around it. And I thought, oh, all right, I'm kind of tech savvy. I can figure stuff out. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go forward with it.
It really just depends on what it is you watch. You know, there, you know, Netflix. It's like if you got Netflix and you're not picky about watching certain things, you can just fill your queue up with 100 things, and you'll probably watch like 10 of them throughout the year. But or especially if you're into like television or something, I find that Netflix is great for that. Just sort of non-picky, just check your brain kind of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, like guys, I think the sports packages is kind of the issue. Like, I know you're a sports guy, mm-hmm. and I'm not a sports guy. Therefore, I don't pay attention to what's available. But
mm-hmm.
I would think that. Unless the sports channels are in cahoots with like Comcast and or whatever company you have, that like they know that's the exclusive way to see it.
Oh yeah,
is through cable. Like, I don't know if you can buy like a, you know, $10 a month, $12 a month app that allows you to stream live games. I don't know if that exists.
I don't know.
But I feel like if that existed, it'd be like boom, get that. And then,
I feel like with the sports stuff, like, I mean, mm-hmm. the Phillies play 162 games a year. They're terrible anyway. But I mean, like, I think I want to go back to sports being a treat, where it's like I get to sit down once in a while and enjoy a game. This whole like buying the whole season and you get everything and all of it all the time. I mean, I've already spent football seasons where I've gone to my neighbor's house up the street. And we watched the early game, the middle game, and as much of the night game as we could until we started falling asleep. So I get to my neighbor's house at 12:30, and I just plant and grow roots into his couch until like 8-something at night. And I would just rather be doing stuff. I'd rather just on occasion watch a game and be wowed by it or disappointed by it, rather than be like, oh, I missed one. I got to do this.
There's a comfort to having like that live plugged in current feed of whatever's on like prime time now, whatever, however you say it, like there's something comfortable about, like I remember one of the first times I lived on my own, had my own apartment, and I got my own cable bill, and like it was like coming up on the holiday season, and I remember they hooked up the cable box and I came home and turned it on, and I had this live cable feed into my home. And it was like, so even like the commercials and stuff were like part of this like comforting feeling of like, oh wow, there's like all this Christmas programming coming on. And you know, it was just like, mm-hmm. I remember feeling good. It was the first time I was conscious that I felt good that I had this current stream of entertainment coming into my home.
Yeah. You know? Isn't that weird that you think, wow, that's strange. Yeah. Good point. That you think nothing of putting, you know, Christmas Story runs on TBS for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You think nothing of putting that channel on and leaving it on. There's been nights where we left it on overnight just to see what part we came down to the next morning.
Yeah, I do that every year.
But if you played that 2-hour movie 12 times in a row, everyone would think you're insane. But there's something about live and what's live? I get the commercials in real time. I get to watch another Ford commercial with a giant red bow. I don't mm-hmm. care. I don't want to watch this stuff anymore.
And let's face it, nowadays it's about having something comforting on in the background so you can look at your smartphone. You know?
That's a good point too. Yeah, I mean you know what it is? A part of it is, I think, is me and Seth Werkheiser and I, Seth W and I talk about this all. What up, Seth? Mm-hmm. You better be listening. we talk about this all the time where every time you go on Twitter, listen to this band, check this out, free this, download that, pay for this, blah, blah, band, 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 music. They can throw as much of that at me as they want, but nothing beats word of mouth. Nothing beats you being like one of my closest friends and my cousin and being like, I know what Trav likes. I know what he doesn't like. And I heard this band and dude, I thought of you. You of all people have to hear this. Oh, that's like a ringing endorsement. I have to go listen now. Like, why can't it be that way with television shows? Like, I've never seen The Wire. I heard The Wire is one of the greatest TV shows ever made. I've never seen one episode.
I know. I hear it all the time.
Okay.
I watched the first episode and I didn't get it yet.
Why can't I start The Wire next year? Like, what's the big deal? Like, is like, maybe some of the references aren't going to make sense because they might have been a little bit more current and stuff, but I just feel like, you know, I'm really into some shows now that I'm watching, but I love Portlandia. Yeah. I know it's an easy choice because it's very popular and everything, but I mean, Portlandia is one of the smartest things on television. Absolutely. But if for some reason I can't watch Portlandia or Louie until like next year because it doesn't come out on Netflix for a year, okay.
Yeah. I think that thinking it actually caters more to having streamable sites because. So it kind of, in my opinion, it actually strengthens the idea of getting rid of cable because honestly, it's all about the binge watch, man. It's all about the like pick a show, pick a season, and go through it. And so if it's available on streaming, there's no real like you don't have to do it now. Whereas like with the cable companies, at least with Comcast, they'll put stuff on, like Xfinity, the streaming on demand or whatever, and then it's like. They give you, 2 weeks to watch it, or they tear it down, or then they put ads in it, and it becomes like YouTube, where you, except that you can't. Or they stop. They create this like with Comcast, you can't fast forward it. You have to watch, sit there and watch the commercials and the commercial breaks. And I'm like, why am I watching live TV without the live? Why do I have to watch it like it's on television? Because all that advertisement is being forced,
right?
And so. With your thinking of like, okay, well, everyone tells me The Wire is amazing. I'll watch it whenever I feel like it. So add it to your queue or, or watch it online, find a site that you can stream it online and just watch it whenever you want or binge watch it. Binge watching is like the thing now,
pick
a show and just watch all 12 episodes at once,
mm-hmm.
which is, I prefer that myself,
I do that now kind of – I do that in, like, small binges anyway because, I don't necessarily catch up immediately. I'm not watching anything in real time. My DVR is catching it, and I'll watch it when I watch it. And then if I don't get to it, I don't get to it. And then one day it's raining, and I can't cut my grass. So I plop my butt on the couch, and I'm like, oh, there's two episodes of Louie. Okay, I'll watch it for an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care so about the real time stuff.
What's so crazy though is if you were to draw a pie chart of what's available, and what's available is like all one color, and what you actually watch is another color. Like it's such a small slice of the pie, So when you start to look at what you're paying monthly, even for Netflix, Netflix is $9.99, it's $10 a month or whatever, which is a totally fair price,
mm-hmm.
but. Even with Netflix, it's like I pay $10 a month for Netflix, but I watch it like maybe once a week, twice a week.
Right.
And it's always just like checked out at the end of the night, half asleep anyway. There's never a time where I go a week or two and I'm watching Netflix every day and I'm paying attention to it. And I'm doing a good 2 hours a night. You know what I mean? It's never like that. So, it's like. To pay for cable is kind of insane.
What I have now is a bundle package. With a cable, I actually have a landline. Billy Power laughed at me. He said, "I think you're the only person I've spoken to the past 10 years that said he had a landline."
Hey, Billy, I've got one too, my friend.
Hey, yeah, we're out here in Pennsylvania. We're still setting up for traffic lights in a couple of spots.
You city folks with your reception.
But I have a landline and cable and the internet all bundled together, and it's costing me like $176. A month, and
dude, that's insane, man.
And the kids are—I mean, my kids want phones, and it's just like. But by the time I get done paying for that bundle package and all the phones and everything, I'm pushing $400 a month.
If I were you, dude,
I have to do something, man. This is crazy town.
My vote is get an Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Because Amazon Prime is $100 a year, which is basically Netflix. It's nine. It breaks down to like $7 to $10 a month. But you get free shipping, 2-day shipping anytime you buy anything that's, under Amazon Prime, which is pretty much everything in their store. You also get a ton of free music to stream. They have like a giant library of music that you can just, it's almost like And anytime you buy a record or something like that, nine times out of 10, you get a download through Amazon. Like, and you instantly have access to the download. Like, even when you pre-order something that's like available, like digitally, you immediately get a download of it. So it's just like you get tons of extra stuff. Like, I'm somebody who orders a lot on Amazon. I pretty much do all my Christmas shopping on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, certainly I buy a lot of stuff that I want. It's a good price there, and you can get basically anything. And I love to just get 2-day free shipping. So yeah. I never pay for shipping. And then they're the only one streaming service other than HBO that has HBO. Like, you can watch like every show from HBO. Just about, I'm pretty sure almost everything's on there. Like all the series or shows, Sopranos, The Wire, all that stuff, mm-hmm. on Amazon Prime. Plus, they have their original programs, and they have a ton of what's already on Netflix. And then between that and Netflix, like if you do both, like you know what I mean? You pick, like, it depends on what you watch, but you can get these really cheap per month apps, you know, and then you just watch them. You can watch them on your phone, you can watch them on your TV, and then you get rid of cable. You basically, you're watching all the stuff you wanted to watch. Like I said, for me, it's usually television shows and some movies. So between those two, I'm pretty set up. Like there's nothing I can't watch, or you know, in my busy schedule, when I actually go to sit down and want to watch something, there's always something to watch on either one of those things. So that's for me what I do. And then if there's a show that's not available on either that I'm dying to see, there's always like some website that has like the episodes streaming. You can just watch them on your computer or your phone or something. So to me, getting rid of cable is great, because you can just, like, it's just a facade that there's this comfort, you know, that you're getting like live TV, or this, you know, it's airing right now, and that makes you feel good or something. Like, to me, it's you can create that facade with streaming, you know what I mean? And pay $20 a month rather than 100 and whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And honestly, those companies suck. They shouldn't get your money. I don't know about your independent company and how corporate evil they are, but Comcast sucks. Comcast can freaking rot, as far as I'm concerned. I hate them, and I think they're evil, and they own my life, and it sucks.
That's why you hate them.
Because they are also the rulers, the devil worshipping rulers of internet service, and there's all this debate and all these you know, court cases happening about the whole like free the internet, you know, and all that, you know, them trying to control the streaming avail, you know, all that stuff, all the internet strength and all that. So the bandwidth, rather. So it's just those companies, just the more we give them the money out of our own desperation, the more they get the power, and the more they control you. Like, you can't, you know, we can't survive. We can't function our businesses and all, and our home, just everything we do, without internet and phones, like, you know. And so with them knowing that, if they're the ones who control you, they do whatever they want to do, and you just have to deal with it. So yeah, I am 100% behind you getting rid of cable and putting your money into like cool companies that are doing really interesting things, like Netflix and, you know, all that. Like I said, you know, they're the ones that brought Arrested Development. That's like one of your favorite shows. Like,
exactly. They're the one that's what really turned me on to them, where I thought, wow, they cared enough to do something like that.
They dropped all the episodes right on your lap. And
I'm that guy. And I'm the guy where they said, we're releasing them at 3 a.m. or something like that. I went to bed early, set an alarm. And I remember getting up at like, I think I woke up at like 4:15 in the morning. I made a coffee and I watched, not all of them, but I couldn't fit them all in. I had to like be a...
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time, yeah.
But I watched like, out of 14 episodes or something, I think I watched like 9 or something.
Yeah, dude. Like,
it was great.
And it's fun, and I think it's more practical with your time, because if you have one day where you're going to waste your brain cells watching 12 episodes of a TV show, get it out of your system, because then the rest of the time you're going to be busy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're not going to be sitting there doing that every day. You know what I mean?
All right, so I'm dropping cable, and here we go. And I'm going to be held accountable for it. We're going to come on the podcast, and if anybody wants to email as the story grows, @gmail.com and be like, did you do it yet? Or, you know what I mean? But we need to get some listener feedback with some stuff too. Is there anything that you guys want to talk, want us to talk about? Is there anything, any bands that you want us to do like an album review of, to see if maybe between me and Steven's collection, mine is, I have probably about 115 albums. Steven has many more than I do. We might have it, dude. I'll listen to it and talk about it on the air or whatever, or we'll figure out a copy. We'll get a copy of it.
Yeah, that's obviously, I know there's people listening to the show, and we'd love to hear from you. And a couple people. We'd love to hear from you and tell us what you think or what you'd like to hear, you know, any suggestions or anything like that, questions. And honestly, anyone, if you guys even want to send us a recording of you asking a question, right, we'll play it, you know, or comments. Definitely. Or something. We'll totally play listener feedback. That's I'm all into that. So, yeah. Definitely get involved and offer some suggestions and stuff.
So I have a suggestion. I want you to tell me and everybody else listening about this new Mew album.
Oh man, yeah. Mew put a new record out this spring. It's called Plus Minus, with just a plus and a minus symbol. So
it's confusing.
It's really hard to look for on the internet.
So, I love it.
You know, some people were writing out the words, some people just typed it out, but it's one of those things, like, if you type it, like, a lot of other crap comes up, and you kind of have to swim through it to be like, oh, there's the link for the album, okay. But,
do you remember the kids show? Do you remember the kids show Pinwheel?
Oh, yeah, dude, from Nickelodeon.
Remember the two little guys who lived upstairs? Weren't they named Plus and Minus?
I totally don't remember.
Wow.
But that's really funny. You got a weird memory.
I do have a weird memory, because I don't even know if that's right or not. And I know the bass player from Zao played in a band called the Minus Tide, and my old band played with them at Mac Rock in 2004 down in Virginia, and they were awesome, and I loved them.
Nice.
That's all I got.
Interesting.
Pluses and minuses, yeah.
And then Timothy, I got the name right this time, Timothy Henderson, one of our old guests of the show.
Yes.
He saw me post about the new Plus Minus from Mew, and he dropped some YouTube clip from some old obscure band called Plus Minus or something. Like, he's like, oh, you made me think about this crazy new wave band from da 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 da. I don't even remember the genre or whatever. He just dropped it. I didn't even listen to it yet, but I just thought it just reminded me how insane his musical vocabulary is. I was like,
That could be a segment on our show. We could just whatever
it should be.
Whatever weird band we jogged loose out of Timothy's mind, and we can find a link to it or something. And
we should do a 6 degrees instead of it being a Kevin Bacon. It'll be 6 degrees of connect. You know, one band from like the '60s to a current band through six other bands or something. I bet you Timothy. Yeah. Would sit there and connect those dots
without Wikipedia and Google. Like, he's just got that.
That's right.
He's got that music. He's got that musical knowledge where he's he goes on the I'm pretty good at knowing like, oh yeah, that bass player played with that dude or something like that. But I mean, he goes to like the this guy produced the album, but this one song was produced by three people. One of those three people is the one who played backup guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes on that level where I'm like,
yeah, he's
what? Yeah, he's
yeah. Good. He's so intense with that stuff. Yeah. But anyway, they're just one of those bands I'm super stoked to hear a new record come out. And this spring they put out a record called Plus Minus. And this one's kind of a departure from all the progginess. It's a little bit it's all there still. If you actually stop and listen to what they're doing, it's kind of insane and it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just listening to it driving or something, like it's very just feel good summer music, you know, like it's a record you want to put in your car and just turn, you know, put the windows down and just like it's a feel good, very lush producer. It's produced by the guy who did Super Unknown.
Huh.
And it just has like a really old school but big sound. And I'll play a song somewhere in the show. But it was weird. It grew on me. Like, the last two records were like instant, oh my gosh, this is blowing my mind. Mm-hmm. This one, I put it on and I was like, I don't know.
Hmm.
Like, it's not hitting the sweet spot. But once I got the melody hooks and started to let it get sink in a little bit, it really starting to really grow on me, and I'm really, really impressed. They're calling it their definitive record of their career. Not sure where I think And the Glass Hand of Kites is always going to be my favorite, but definitely an awesome record. We'll drop some links, I guess, to them, and definitely check it out. It's definitely one of the best records of the year so far.
Plus minus by Mew. All right. Yeah.
What do you got? Anything new from you?
My turn. I've been talking about this for a while, and it finally came yesterday. Today is May 6th. Well, now, I mean, not while you're listening to it. You guys know how this works. Blah, 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 blah. But yesterday's May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayonnaise. Coliseum dropped Anxiety's Kiss. And I love Coliseum. And this album is, they were like...
How would you describe their sound?
It's got like a post-punk kind of a thing going. It's got like a...
Like punk rock produced by people who do like metal kind of thing, would you say?
No, the past three albums, I think, have been produced by Jay Robbins. So it's got like a...
Are you freaking kidding me?
I'm holding it in my lap right now. Sister Faith was done in there, and Anxiety's Kiss is Jay Robbins. Jay plays on a couple of these songs, like weird instruments.
Wow.
Yeah, that's dude. Cool. And they did everything at Magpie, and... It sounds. I mean, anything with Jay Robbins on it, I'm a fan. I'm a fanboy of Jay Robbins. I'll say it, and it's got a nice, polished, smart, amazing kind of a sound to it. And when I read a lot of reviews, I mean, Twitter was just, oh my god, Twitter was like my phone was rattling out of my pocket, and every time I looked at Twitter, it was Coliseum, Anxiety's Kiss, and I guess they did an interview somewhere where they said like Killing Joke is like one of the most important bands out there. And a lot of people are drawing similarities to like Devo and Killing Joke mixed with
to hear this.
like a newer punk, post-punk, indie. I mean, I don't know how to describe Coliseum. You got to hear them, but I know they're definitely not. I mean, this doesn't sound the same as God Damage. That's for sure. They definitely have. I mean, back then they were just like going for it. This is more polished, and every album has gotten smarter, in my opinion. Really neat progression if you listen to them, where they just get. I don't have all the albums in front of me, but the first thing I ever heard was God Damage, and it's just got like a
total, that title. Oh my word!
It's funny, right? Just got like an aggro, go for it. It's just kind of got like this 1, 2, 3, go, and just pedal down the whole time. And nice. then No Salvation is unbelievable. It's got some metal riffs on it. It definitely has some breakdowns, but like they're not cheesy, like. You know, guitar in the air breakdowns.
I kept wanting to put them in a Mastodon camp for some reason. I don't listen to them enough to talk about them. That's why I'm.
They do a lot of rhythm. They do a lot of rhythm guitar, palm muted stuff, where I can kind of see that might fit. But they're actually a 3-piece band, and Ryan, the front guy, he plays. I don't even know what that thing is. It's like that little teeny tiny keyboard that is up on a stand in front of a guitarist, where you like play it with one hand. He plays that a lot. He loops.
Okay, yeah.
He loops a lot. Everything.
Probably just a MIDI trigger or something.
Something like that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But you'll hear it. Their latest. Well, no, their first single off Anxiety's Kiss is called "We Are the Water," and the opening riff is that thing. I don't know what it is, but it sounds cool. And he loops that and plays over top of it and underneath it and everything. There's just one guy up there. There's a bass player. There's a drummer who sings, and Ryan does everything else. And he's a busy dude.
Cool, cool.
But the production on this album is like, it's a testimony to Jay too. Testimony to Magpie. It's,
nice. Yeah, I really want to hear it.
And the artwork is neat. It's very silver. It's very silver on black. The album that I got, the vinyl is grayish silver, kind of like got like a gun. What do they call that? Like a
smoky.
Gunsmoke Gray or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
And him and his freaking cats, there's always cats worked into the artwork, and he's holding the cats.
Nice.
It's really funny. But the only thing that I don't think I get yet is the album cover, how the three of them are just posing on it. I've never been a big fan of bands posing on their own album cover. It reminds me of like old Anthrax albums from 88 or something. But
yeah,
I think it kind of has a thematic thing going with the church, and there's a bunch of veils and stuff and whatever. It's super cool looking. But
nice,
dude, I love it. I love it, and I actually I just got it. I was trying not to listen to it. I'm a really big fan of how everybody throws out the free stream. Check it out. Here's the album. You can hear it. And I dodge the stuff. I want to hear it the way it was intended to be heard.
I try to dodge it, but I'm so tired of waiting.
I couldn't dodge this one.
I always crave.
I saw the stream. I happened to be home, and I saw the stream for it. And I was on Wi-Fi, and I was like, yeah, I'm in the mood to hear this. So I did listen to the album once. I cheated, and I listened to it a week ago. And
nice.
Front to back, I was like, yes, I'm humming along to every song. This is great. But I just got it loaded into my phone today. So I'm actually going to go to work tomorrow and listen to Coliseum all day. So, yeah, I'm really stoked about Coliseum Anxiety's Kiss. It's on Deathwish. Oh, I tried to download the album to have it in my phone today, and I had an album. I had a problem. I lost signal or something like that, and I couldn't open it. And then I went to punch the code back in, and it said, oh, this code's already been used. And I was like, oh, man. So I emailed Deathwish like 10 o'clock last night. And they got back to me by lunch today.
Nice.
And I came home, and I hit the link, and everything worked fine. The guy was totally great. So, you know, props to Deathwish. Good job.
They're a cool label. When I bought the latest Woven Hand from them.
Yeah.
Dirt cheap. And they sent me a bunch of promo, like, stickers and posters of bands and stuff. Like they just send you a lot of cool stuff. You know what I mean? Like, when you buy a record, you open the box and you get, like, a bunch of cool stuff you didn't expect. Like, they're that label. Like, they're really, like, you know, they sell stuff for cheap and you get cool stuff added in as an incentive. So, yeah. And I've always been happy with their prices and their shipping's fast and... So yeah, I figured they would probably be good with their customer service too. Cool label for sure.
Yeah, and it was recorded, like I said, recorded with Jay Robin. I'm Robin.
I can't wait to hear that. I haven't really been paying much attention to Robin's studio.
He's
and his recording. So
I'm just going through the notes here real quick. He's got bass credits on a song called "Come Down." He's got Bulbul Tarang credits in Sharp Fangs Pale Flesh. He does backing vocals in Sunlight in a Snowstorm. That's all I see. So he inserted
himself. He's on the record. Yeah,
definitely. He's in here a little bit. But
and he's a super talented guy, so that's rad that he's still putting music out.
Yep.
Kind of wish a new Jawbox record would come out, but I'm not going to get that.
I'll be in line for that. Have you ever heard Office of Future Plans?
I have, but I don't remember enough to say, oh, this song and that song.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's like, I need to get back up on the Jay Robbins list.
It's like mellow Jawbox. It's like mellow Jawbox with a cello player. It's really neat.
Oh, wait, I was thinking of the Airlines.
Burning Airlines? Jawbox, then Birdie Airlines is like Jawbox 2, and then Channels is like Jawbox 3, and I love Channels. And then Office of Future Plans is he's got a standard drummer, bass player, him playing guitar, and then he has a fourth guy that plays guitar and banjo and cello. And there's a couple songs that are just haunting because they have that. Yeah, it's really neat. And then I think
can't picture his vocals with a cello, but I'll have to hear that.
They're amazing. They're amazing because you know he hits those weird minor dissonant things because that's weird.
Yeah.
And he actually went out and performed. If I'm not mistaken, I think he went out as Office of Future Plans, just him and the cello guy.
I saw that on some YouTube clips. Yeah,
which is neat. I kind of get bored. Get bored with the whole like. Guy with an acoustic guitar doing his songs thing. Sometimes that works. I kind of dig like Chuck Reagan doing like a folk stomp kind of thing. I kind of dug that.
Ryan Adams and Jeremy Enoch are like the only two people top of my head I care about.
Jeremy Enoch is an excellent example. I wouldn't get tired of hearing that either. But there's a lot of bands out there that are like, all right, like I get it. But Jay pulled it off. Totally pulled it off. It sounded
that's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's old school, though. I mean, we're always going to have a hankering to hear his voice and his music in some way. It'll sort of bring that sort of love of the old school back to us a little bit, I think.
I used to be in a band called The House Lights back in 2004. We did a radio interview, and the lady asked me, that like softball question. It felt like such a rock star. She was like, if you could work with one musician, who would it be? And I was like, Jay Robbins. And she went, I don't know who that is.
Oh, God.
And I was like, well, the J stands for Jawbox. Look him up. And she was like, oh, I've heard of Jawbox. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I was trying not to be a dick and being like, I know somebody you don't. But I was like, you really should. You should check out every angle of that guy, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so
if I could work with anybody, man, it would be probably Phil Eck. I love Phil Eck, man.
Oh, interesting.
Always wanted to do a record with Phil Eck. I feel like he's that perfect heavy music and clean music. He does the Band of Horses records, the first two of the Band of Horses. He did like the bigger Built to Spill records from the 90s. He did a couple of those bigger Modest Mouse records.
Mm-hmm. That's where I know him from.
And they're always great production. And then he did like the first couple Big Business records, and they're real heavy. And he's done some Carp, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like he's just he knows that sound, like both of those sort of worlds that I'm into. So I always thought like he would be a perfect guy to bring out like heavy and like lush type stuff and just sort of make it right. Man, I would love to work with Phil Eck. But Jay Robbins would be cool. Actually one of our upcoming guests, one of the guys we're aiming to talk to, Dan Frohm. From Room Runner, a band called Room Runner.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you lined up Jay Robbins, and I was about to fall out of my freaking chair.
Well, I'll work on that for sure. Okay. But Dan Frohm, he's in Room Runner. He's the bassist. He's a buddy of mine from Baltimore, and he records a lot of bands and stuff. And his latest Room Runner release was recorded by Jay Robbins, if I'm not mistaken. Or I know they recorded with him about a year ago. So we'll have to get some information from him about that when we talk to him down the road. But yeah, Jay Robbins, man, he's a hop, skip, and a jump away from here.
So there you go. There's everything that we got to cover for this week and everything. We're gonna
nice lengthy intro.
So enough about all the records that we bought and all the money that we spent on that we can't afford. And here I am trying to save money from, you know, getting rid of my cable, and I'm just turning around buying Coliseum records anyway.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Yes, that's the thing. You're not gonna save money by getting rid of cable. You're just gonna buy more albums.
We'll have to have another family discussion after they discover Daddy has a problem.
Sorry, kids, you're not getting your cell phones. Sorry, it's not happening.
My dad had a vinyl addiction for my entire childhood.
I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of that Big Lebowski line.
Right.
What's that line? She's got to feed the, was it feed the monkey? Is it feed the monkey?
Got to feed the monkey, man. Yeah. So I think so.
He's right. Your dad's got to feed the monkey, man. Anyway.
So let's get to the business at hand here. We're talking to Seth from Becoming the Archetype. And he was nice enough to
little band some of you may have heard of.
Yeah, they were kind of a legitimate thing. They also, by the way, little known fact. Here's a little factoid for the trivia buffs out there. Becoming the Archetype, only solid state band ever to spend the night in my house.
Nice.
Yep, that's it.
Only one.
That's it. And I had multiple lineups here too. I had the original lineup. No, I didn't have the original lineup. I never had all four of the original ones. I had Alex after John left. I never had all the original four guys, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah. The only solid state band that stayed at my house was probably Under Oath, but they weren't on solid state at the time. Mm. They became Under Oath or solid state after the fact, but we were all on tour together, so they stayed here, and I think I was the first person to show them Amish people. But that's another story, another time.
Oh yeah. I remember. I remember they stayed.
These Floridians.
Floridians. Yeah, I remember. They wanted. I became like their tour manager for the day. It was kind of fun. And they were like, we're staying at this hotel, and we're going to be playing at this club tonight, and everything. And here's a quick Becoming the Archetype story or two. They were like, where should we eat? And I was like, well, you guys are right next to the Trivet. It's like this huge diner. It's like. All it is a diner, but it's Gigantor. So it's like one of the biggest diner/restaurants in Allentown here in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. Right. Yeah. They were staying right next to it. They were going to drive past it looking for something. I was like, no, just eat right there. So I met him at the Trivet, and I remember Wisdom was like, what are these? And he's pointing. He didn't even know how to pronounce it because it's spelled so funny. He didn't know what pierogies were.
Oh, like, man.
And I was like, you never had pierogies? And all of them were like, what's a pierogi? And I was like, waitress? And the entire time they were like, oh my God, these are amazing. I'm like, they're fried dough.
Wow.
With potatoes in them. Yeah, they never had.
They were fried.
They're from Georgia. They never had pierogies before. So.
Oh, yeah. Pierogies are important to American life.
So they are. They're just fried dough.
Absolutely.
Man. And then Brandon. Oh my God, dude. Brandon Lopez, the drummer that played on Dichotomy, the guy who essentially got the gig that I was going to do, but I couldn't figure out how to make it happen. Dude, not only is he an amazing drummer, and I will put a link up to his band called Broken Flesh, and he's a legit drummer. Like, wow, is he fast. He is, without a doubt, one of the funniest people I've ever met. Like, I only met him for the day, and he was such a riot. He was like, I need water for the show. And he was like, I don't like when places give me water, like, out of the tap. It grosses me out. I want, like, bottled water. And I was like, all right, hop in my car. And I drove him to a CVS
or
local. And I got him those. You remember when gallon jugs were coming out in those weird plastic containers? Like, instead of a jug, it was like a giant, it had like a handle built into it. It almost looked like...
It was like a perfectly round Deer Park, like, barrel, but it was like a completely round thing with a
handle built into it.
Handle built into the side, yeah.
All right, so Lopez is Lopez is a big dude. He walks around with sleeveless shirts, and he's like a monster. He picks up two of those things. and he starts flexing with them, and he's going, oh, yeah. This is in CVS. And he's just flexing. And this woman walked around the corner and just stared at him. And he looks up and he gives her the eyebrow. And he goes, how's it going? And I laugh so hard. So then he goes up. He goes up to pay for it when he reaches in his pocket. And he's on tour. So these guys have, like, I mean, pennies. They're always scraping together. Yeah. He reaches in his pocket to pay for these things. And he's pulling out individual ones that are, like, balled up. Like, he doesn't have them folded like people usually carry their money. He looks like he shoved them in his pockets, and he's pulling out these ones, and they're all folded up and crumpled and everything. And he's like,
yeah,
I'm really sorry. I didn't get a chance to straighten all these out. I'm a dancer, and these are my tips. And he
oh
just,
my gosh.
And the woman who before was, hey, how's it going? That lady, she was in line about three people behind us. She burst out laughing so hard. I thought she popped the gasket. That woman started laughing so hard. And the lady behind the counter was just flabbergasted. That dude's a riot. If anybody ever gets a chance to talk to him after a show, just get him going. Man,
dude, we need to get him on here, man. We got to bring the comedy.
All right, I could do that. I can make that happen. I just texted him recently. I can get a hold of him.
Cool, yeah.
But nice. Anyway, let's take this over to Seattle. Not Seattle. Let's take this to Washington, near Seattle.
Our Seattle dwelling Lutheran friend.
Yes, our Atlanta transplant, Seattle newly Lutheran church employee, metal guitarist, folk singer.
I'm sure he'll love this.
Seth Peacock.
Cool. Let's do a talk to him.
Let's go. Here we are with Seth Peacock. How is the West Coast?
Oh, the West Coast is good. As you can see behind me is a green wall. That's because I'm in Seahawk country. So
it looks. I thought you were on the set of like some sort of a movie, and you were doing like a superimposing. That is green wall.
the new BTA music video is going to be all green screens, Matrix style. You know,
fantastic. That's good news. We're gonna get to BTA. You slow down, man. So the Georgia transplant who went out to the West Coast, I believe you're out there because the missus got a job out there and y'all migrated out there, something like that, right?
Yeah, it was for education and work. So I got a job at a Lutheran church, and my wife is going to the Evergreen State down in Olympia, and I'm going to Fort Fox Seminary in Portland.
Oh, cool! Check that out.
Yeah,
Lutheran church. You're still having fun though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the Lutherans, they encourage drinking, so that always makes things a lot of fun, you know?
Oh, sweet.
I'm
switching over then. Cool. All right. So welcome to
the... right now some kind of non-denominational?
Welcome to the new Lutheran podcast.
I myself are Reformed PCA Presbyterian, so I'm close to Lutheran.
I used to be that. I was that before I was Lutheran, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
My PCUSA church just hit a bump, and our pastor left, and now I'm not exactly sure what direction that's going to spin off in. So I'm in a bit of a hovering period right now. I might have to go look into one of those PCAs, but. So anyway, let's see. How do we do this? I met Becoming the Archetype back when you guys needed a place to crash.
Yeah, that would have been when Alex was in the band, right?
Yeah, Alex from my old band in Alathian, and he basically said, you guys needed to record a demo to send to Solid State.
Well, it was we needed demos for Physics of Fire is before we recorded Physics of Fire, right?
And right.
We needed to send Rob Caggiano was who we were trying to work with at the time.
Okay.
It would have been like fall 2006, or probably like September.
That sounds about right. I actually have the first track on Physics of Fire. I have the demo that you recorded in my studio.
Oh my god!
Somewhere in my hard drive.
That sounds really awful.
Oh, it does. I'll never forget when you guys rolled up.
We won't be playing it on our exclusive track.
I don't know. Man.
I mean, you can if you want. I don't care.
It's not much for sound quality. I do remember when you guys pulled up. And, you guys walked into my basement and kind of had like a... kind of look on your face like, isn't this sweet? He set up a couple microphones next to his CD collection. That was pretty much my studio at the time.
Oh, no, we weren't looking down on that. Alex might have.
And Duck was sick. Duck spent 2 days on my couch.
Yep.
All wrapped up in my mother-in-law's afghan, coughing and wheezing. I remember all that. It was fun. That was interesting.
Man, Duck was sick so much that we occasionally had to, like, battle airlines because they would think that he was drunk and wouldn't let him on him because they thought he was intoxicated. And we had to say, no, he's just literally that sick, you know? Yeah. I mean, he would just be off.
Poor Duck. Aw. I love Duck. That poor guy. The first time I ever met him, he was like, I might die in your house, so... poor guy.
Yeah, drummers, you know? Drama.
Yeah, I know. We're a sickly bunch, man, you know?
It's a bummer that the tantrum reign of terror ended when it did, because it was pretty much like you guys were just coming up right after that. Like, it seemed like you guys... Yeah. Came out right when we stopped, and
yeah, definitely.
We unfortunately didn't get. See, I don't get all the inside jokes now. You know, I'm lost. I'm learning.
Well, you guys went dark for several years, right? Kind of just like, nothing, right?
Like yeah, we were officially over in 2004.
They were always dark.
But, I was gonna say we were always dark.
Nothing was hurting you guys. Like 2004 to probably what 2012 or so.
We worked pretty consistently until about 2002. That's about when we stopped. In 2002 through 2004, we were trying out different people and having lineup problems. Rick went to the Huntingtons. He was drumming for the Huntingtons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
So all that happened, and then we tried, but it was just too much at that point. And then nothing for a while for me.
2002 is when I quit Crutch, and I officially didn't get out of Crutch till early 2003, and that was right around when Crutch was transferring over to Alathian, and Alex happened upon you guys, and it was kind of like, I'm going to set a pick for Alathian, and kind of maybe I can help out that band by you know, joining BTA and kind of drag the two around. And Alathian and Becoming the Archetype actually toured with Crimson something.
Crimson Moonlight.
Crimson Moonlight, that's it. And,
I was going to say Crimson Tide, but I think that's a submarine movie or something.
No. No. That is incorrect. And
I want to ask real quick, while we're in the early stage discussion of the band, you guys had the album Terminate Damnation. That was the first one, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, was that taken from a Mortification song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we were big... Okay. All that cheesy Christian metal we were really into.
Yeah.
Jason's email address for the longest time was like post momentary affliction or something
nice.
Like that.
Nice. See, I really liked those first three Jason Sherlock era Mortification albums, but especially Scrolls the Megaloth. And when you guys put that record out, I remember being like, that's got to be a Scrolls reference.
Yep, absolutely was.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome.
And the artwork, I'll try to find a link for it, but somebody got a full sleeve of the Terminator.
No way.
Dude, it's amazing.
I've got that picture somewhere. I can probably send it to you. It's wrapped around his whole arm. So you
I'll take
to
it.
Have, oh, wow, that's crazy.
As his arm rotates around. Yeah.
Fire it on over. It's a beautiful album cover. It's really
I don't know what I would feel like if someone showed me a tattoo of my album cover like that. I'd be like blown away.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. We've been posting a lot of tattoos, BTA themed tattoos recently, which is it's just because, you know, we always got good artists to do the artwork, you know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. The things they're getting tattooed aren't us. It's like things by Dan Seagrave and Christian Wallen, who are the painters, you know? So,
right.
But it's cool.
Was Terminate released independently, or was that on Solid State?
That was on Solid State. We signed with Solid State in, like, December 2004.
Okay.
And then recorded, and we toured and then recorded Terminate Damnation early 2005, and then Terminate Damnation came out in August 2005.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, all of that stuff. All of our releases were on Solid State.
So after Physics, you guys toured with Crimson Moonlight and Alathion, and then after that, I don't mean to rush here, but I know that you're under a little bit of a time constraint. After that, I got a phone call about Dichotomy. You guys were you guys were actually going to summon me to play the drums up in Vancouver with Devin Townsend. Which scared the hell out of me, and I remember the whole thing.
Yeah, Devin Townsend.
Yeah, I remember the entire thing scared me. I thought, oh my goodness, I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. But that was right around 2008 was when Alathion went back to Cornerstone, and I thought, wow, 2008 is going to be a crazy year. This is going to be fun. And it wound up not working out with me playing on the album, which is fine anyway because you got Brandon Lopez, and he's better than me. So it worked out better for you guys. But and then after that, it gets a little bit fuzzy because my kids started getting older, and you guys then you guys did Celestial. Walk us through a little bit of what got you towards the latest lineup with BTA.
Okay, so yeah, 2008, summer 2008, we recorded Dichotomy with Devin Townsend, and that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Then John rejoined. So John rejoined the band right before that. Alex actually wrote
John Starr. John
Starr. Yeah, and Alex Kinnis actually wrote a song that sort of ended up on Dichotomy before he left the band. So we used part of one of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
John wrote some of those songs. I wrote some. Lopez, our drummer for just that album, he even wrote one of those songs. So that was kind of a cool conglomeration of stuff. Cool. And then Lopez left right after we recorded, before the album even came out, and so Duck rejoined the band. We've had this long history of people leaving and then rejoining and then re-leaving again. So so John Starr started off as the guitarist, left, Alex came on, Alex left, John came back on, and then left again, and then that's when we added Daniel. So Daniel Gailey has been the guitarist for the last couple albums.
Right.
Alongside me. And then Duck did the same. Duck started off with the band, left after the first two albums. Lopez came on. Lopez left, and Duck came back to the band. And then Duck left again with Jason after Celestial Completion was recorded. So anyway,
you guys are basically just like a bunch of tag team musicians. You have to have two of everything, and then one guy just gets tired and has to go home and have a baby, and he's like, "All right, tap me out, boom," and the next guy hops.
That's pretty close to the truth, actually.
I know it is. If you do the math, it's almost exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, and I was the only guy that never got to tag out, so I was the guy left standing with the bag when the cops came around, you know? So Dichotomy came out late 2008, and then 2009 and 2010 we mostly spent touring. And Daniel joined the band when John quit for the second time. And late 2010, that's when we started writing for Celestial Completion. And then we recorded in Atlanta with Matt Goldman, who had done like some Under Oath stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a name I recognize.
Did he do the Cries from the Past era stuff? Or
no, 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 no. He did, oddly enough, he did the really big stuff. He did the two albums that, like, really... Like,
oh, okay.
Define the Great Line and...
oh, okay, yeah, after yeah. That. So, that's a real deal studios type thing then.
Yeah, yeah, it was really neat. Matt's a super cool dude. He did a great job on the production, but he doesn't have an ear for metal stuff for mixing, and we had him do the mix, and the mix isn't bad, but the production's great, and the mix is kind of so-so, because he's more into, like, and regular stuff, and he just doesn't have an ear for metal mixing, right, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the songwriting, I thought, on Celestial Completion was some of our best, and I like that.
It was some of the most interesting stuff you've done. I will say that Celestial went a little crazy with some shouting and some horns, and I was like, "The heck are you guys doing?" Yeah, and you guys definitely went out into the weird, dark, deep end of the pool on that album.
Yeah, you know, well, Dichotomy seemed so homogenous to us. Like, it all had this uniform, huge sound and heavy metal, you know.
Yep.
That, you know, when we got to Celestial Completion, we just thought, okay, let's add in sitars and let's add in horns and let's do, like, you know, these digitized vocals that, you know, are like these, like, vocoder type stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
We added in everything that we could, and I liked how it worked out, but yeah, for that album, we also got Dan Seagrave to paint the cover again, which he hadn't done since Terminate Damnation. So that was awesome.
Cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he did. So Dan Seagrave did Terminate Damnation and Celestial Completion, and then our last album, I Am. Mm-hmm. And then this guy named Christian Wallen, also, he goes by the name Necrolord. He did Dichotomy.
Whoa, Necrolord.
The album cover for Dichotomy is rad. I really like that.
Yeah, that's a serious metal name right there, Necrolord.
So seriously, do not criticize his drawings.
Seriously. Let's back up to one thing that you just said, and I want to get controversial here, if I may.
Oh,
did you say I Am is the last BTA album or the most recent?
Well, I meant
recent?
Latest. Sorry.
Okay, all right. I wanted to make sure. That's all.
I mean, it's the last one for apparently a long time. I mean, if we want it, so let me catch us up to speed here real quick through I Am, and then we can talk about a possible future maybe.
Dig it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Awesome.
So Celestial Completion came out in 2011. That was the end of our 4-album contract with Solid State, so we re-signed with them, and we did I Am. But by that time, Jason had quit, Duck had quit, so, like, I'm the only original member left. Daniel had been in the band for a couple years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get a new vocalist, a new bass player to replace Jason. We had to get a new drummer. So we got all these young guys. So in like a year and a half time, I went from being the youngest guy in the band to being the oldest guy in the band.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, before John left for the second time, like early 2010, everybody was older than me, and I was like the kid, you know, and everything. And then by like mid-2011... I got all these. I mean, I was by far the oldest. You know, I had all these young guys in their young, they're like early 20s, and they, you know, I remember when Alex Kinnis was in the band. I remember him being shocked that we would have people at our shows that were born in the 90s.
Right.
And then by 2011, I had guys in the band that were born in the 90s.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, dude, it used to like trip me out when I talked to people, and they were like, you know, they were born, like, in 91, like, when Nevermind came out. And then it would even trip me out even more when, like, you talk to people who were born in, like, 99, 2000. You're just like, my last proper rock album came out when you were born. That makes me feel really weird, because now you're in a band that's on a label.
It's freaking me out. Seth, how old are you, Seth? How old are you?
I just turned 30 recently.
Just turned 30? Okay. You're talking about being the oldest guy in the band. Bad. I know you and I are huge baseball fans. I'm going to be 40 in August, and you cross a threshold when you start to be able to count the guys in the major leagues who are older than you when it's down that you can count them on your hands. It's getting kind of scary. It's like, dude, I'm down to 7. There's only 7 dudes playing ball right now that are actually
older than me.
Yeah.
It is weird. You grow up thinking like these guys in sports are like guys you look up to and are older than you, and now I watch sports and I just think, these are kids. These are younger than my younger brother.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's people at Lowe's that piss me off older than somebody starting on the Phillies right now. You know what I mean? It's getting ugly. It's getting weird.
It always makes me feel old when I... It makes me feel older than I actually am sometimes talking music with any sort of, like, current touring guy. He grew up listening to, like, not even, like, he like, almost missed, like I said, like, Nirvana or something. Like some of these kids are, like, they weren't even raised on, like, early 90s. Like, they didn't even get into music till, like, 2000. And it's, like, man, by then I was, like, this, I just had no interest in what was coming out. Like, exactly. So it's, like, how do you talk to these kids? I feel so old, like. You know, it's the whole get off my lawn thing. You know, it's like, get off well, like you kids need to know what real metal is before they put that hardcore in it, you know? And it's like, oh, God, listen to this old guy.
Breakdowns! We were moving too fast for breakdowns! Ah.
Yeah, exactly. We were into the speed.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that was nice as a refreshment from that was when I got to fill in on guitar for Five Iron Frenzy on a tour about a year
ago. Wow, that's a big gig.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was cool. It was opening for Real Big Fish, too. It was like this huge tour with them, and Goldfinger was on some of the shows, but like they were all older than me, so like I got to be the kid again. You know, I was like 10 years younger than most of the guys, and so they're like,
wow, that's crazy. Late,
like 30s, early 40s, you know. So.
I didn't know you went out of Five Iron. That's crazy, but that must have been an insane change from the becoming the Archetype bus, huh?
yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, I'm kind of hiding behind people because I'm not the, you know, I'm not supposed to be the face on stage, and I'm right. playing ska and not metal, and you know, like you're supposed to be funny and not brutal, you know. So,
oh yeah, no brutal.
And playing for people, that's cool.
They didn't. Your fans didn't recognize you in that like that checkered suit you were wearing, you know.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's weird because every night Reese would introduce me. Death from becoming the Archetype, and there would be occasionally like that one random guy be like, yeah, that's awesome, man.
That's so cool.
Like, no one can,
you know? The whole crowd's completely quiet. There's that one dude woo-hoo! In the back.
They like shunned him to the back of the crowd. Yeah.
So let's keep trucking here. I know you're short on time. I don't want to hold you.
Oh, yeah.
At 2008, when I went back and redid did an Alathian show out of the blue, you guys were there, and I think you guys were there.
Yeah.
Weren't you? Yeah. And you handed me a CD. You were like, Trav, you're weird. You don't listen to metal all the time. Check this out. I have a side project called Anchors, and you handed me an Anchors CD. And I remember you saying, like, I only have a couple copies of this, so just listen. Like, I remember I had to listen to it and then give it back to you because you only have, like, four copies. So I never got a copy of it, but I remember hearing
limited edition.
Yeah, limited. Yeah, you need, like, two. And it was like a folk record. I was like, what are you doing?
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that was the crazy thing. It was when BTA couldn't tour as much as I was a single guy. Some of the other guys were getting married at that time. And sometimes BTA couldn't tour as much as I wanted, so I just said, I'll do something else with some other people, and it morphed from like classic rock to folk, and then eventually when I got it, kind of got it going the way I wanted to, it kind of came like digital rock, like synth rock.
Yeah. I know your most recent Kickstarter, you played a little clip of the song, and it had like a weird folk meets digital. Kind of leaning, for lack of a better, go with the 90s reference because I'm almost 40. It kind of landed in the same. If I had to categorize it, it kind of landed near Beck. Kind of reminded me of that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So Anchors is a completely existing and a functioning thing, but it's completely you, right?
Yeah, at this point it is. So that was it was a band for a while, and when I put out a 5-song EP a little bit later after that, and it was cool. I really am proud of it, and I like it, but the band kind of broke up after that, so I kind of put it on hiatus because BTA was fully running it then, and then when BTA sort of went on hiatus a couple years ago, then I started picking up Anchors again and did this new single, this new song. So sort of just trading off one and then the other whenever one lulls, I pick up the other one and do it again, so...
So that's a good segue. Yeah. Now that BTA is in a lull, where do you see the future going with that?
Well, you know, as far as anchors goes, I'm kind of just doing a single at a time. I did that Kickstarter for the one single. It was successful. I put it out, and people seem to like it. So then I'll probably do another Kickstarter for another anchor single here in another 6 months or a year. But then BTA, man, I can't go into too many details, but things are progressing with BTA, but it's so slow. It's like,
just for the record, you can tell us anything you want. We promise not to leave it in the show.
Yeah, right. we haven't done anything with BTA. So IM came out in fall 2012, so it's been 2.5 years since the last album, and we haven't toured since 2013, so it's been summer 2013. So it's been almost 2 years since our last show. And it's just one of those things where I have this idea for this original lineup, you know, getting together just to do it, to write and record another album. Maybe the last album, I don't know, but at least an album. But man, everyone is so busy with stuff and it's so complicated that I started talking to Jason Wisdom about this, like, seriously, a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And we have made progress in that year and a half, 2 years, but it's almost negligible. I mean, it's like hard to just get everyone on the same page to say, yes, I want to do this. Like, regardless of timeline or budget or anything else, just to get everyone to say, yes, I want to write on a BTA album is just, man, I can't even get that together.
Right, so.
Once you get into that flow of just, like, we're not going to do this full time, then it's like, the other stuff just dumps on top of it, and it just,
there's always things that take priority, and so it's you know, when three guys are ready to say, hey, let's write some songs and put them on a hard drive to hold until we write some more songs, then one of the dudes says, oh, sorry, you know, we're moving, so we have to pack up all our stuff and we have to find a house plot, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, and then someone else is. Yeah. Got a new kid on the way, and it's just, it's one delay after another, so I mean, at this point, it may be 3 years till this happens, you know?
Hey, speaking of kids...
Yeah?
Didn't you have one?
Yeah. I actually, but this is crazy, I have one, and we're about to have our second kid.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that!
Yeah, so...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome, man.
I worked really hard to make it happen.
Yeah.
I know. It's such a hard life making babies, right?
you worked really hard.
It's hard for me now during the pregnancy. I have to put on all the sympathy weight, you know? So.
Yeah, be careful with that, because my twins are 12. I still have sympathy weight from their pregnancy.
I've been pregnant for 37 years, man. My wife didn't get any sympathy from me.
That's hilarious. So, what are you doing there? You said something about you're leading some sort of a youth thing in an hour.
My title is I'm a director of family discipleship, which is kind of just a phrase for I work with the families and kids, you know.
Okay.
I help to coordinate all of the Sunday school teachers and curriculum and Wednesday night program and, you know, handle all the events for all the kids and VBS and all that kind of stuff. So,
is that a fun job?
It is. It really, you know, it's fun because I get to sort of be the advocate for the kids to the larger congregation, and I get to hang out and do fun stuff. Like, we play basketball usually on Wednesday nights, and that's fun.
That sounds like a rad position to be in.
You got a tough life playing basketball.
I mean, I know
it, paid for it and making babies.
Well, you know, I find that with those kind of jobs, it's like you have to, aside from the day-to-day challenges, there's also just, like, you got to, like, be responsible 24/7. Because it's like, when you're serving children and the parents are looking up to the person who's the children are looking up to, and they want to see that you're, you know, this upstanding guy, you don't want to, you know, it's like your job's constant because you got to always be, know, making good choices and stuff. Yeah.
You can't let something slip that, you know, they wouldn't say they wouldn't approve of, and you know, you got to watch yourself on social media, and you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I have a buddy who's going through that now to become a pastor, and he's coming from rock and roll life and stuff like that, and going out and, you know, having a few drinks with friends, and he's had to consider just things that weren't necessarily sins, you know, just things that were just they're not going to look good to parents, you know, just and it's a big responsibility, so yeah.
And you know what, and combined with that, we're new to the Pacific Northwest and new to Lutheranism, because I'd never been Lutheran before I got hired, you know, so I'm learning the ropes of both of those things at the same time, so it is a little wild.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
What's the biggest transition, how do I ask that? What's the, coming from PCA, what's the biggest transitional thing to go to switch to Lutheran? Like, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, what's the biggest, like, oh, wow, that's different. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you one thing is that the PCA church I went to is fairly similar theologically to here, but in practice, because they were in Georgia, they were more like, you know, the service looked pretty normal to what, you know, I don't know, a Baptist church or whatever would look like, whereas up here, the Lutheran church is really liturgical, so there's all of these things you have to go through with, like, these certain parts before you do Eucharist or Communion, and, you have all the call and response, and you recite the Nicene Creed every Sunday, and, you know, all of that stuff. So that was – I had to get used to that, because there were just things you're not supposed to do, so I would occasionally be part of the music or something, and I would get up there and I'd say, "All right, everybody, let's stand up and sing to the Lord." And they were like, "No, you're not supposed to introduce
yourself." Yeah.
Hey, settle down, cowboy.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to keep this going longer and longer, but in my experience with it seems to be that it's just a bit more traditional than
the service certainly is. You know, the worship, the order of worship really is. Luckily, this church is in the ELCA, which is probably the most liberal of all of the Lutheran denominations.
So, oh, okay.
You know, they're traditional in the sense that they stick to Lutheran theology and scripture theologically, but, you know, as far as practice goes, you know, they have women ministers and, you know, do a lot of that stuff that the more conservative Lutherans wouldn't. So they're less traditional than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and if people weren't paying much attention, they may assume that there's a lot of, you know, some people have been confused with Catholicism and things like that.
Yeah.
Even though they're very, very different in a lot of ways, it just seems that you know, on a surface level, it can come off that way to a lot of people. And
if you're not used to, like, that kind of stuff, that they could seem very similar. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Cool. Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's fun. I get to play music every now and then, and, you know, that kind of stuff, which is nice.
Even if you weren't enjoying it, you're sitting in their office right now, so you have to say it, right?
Oh, actually, I'm hiding out in the basement of the chapel, so that you know, someone might overhear me. But I'm hoping that I'm not saying anything offensive.
Yeah, Seth's like, "Hey, guys, actually, this is terrible. I hate this kid." Yeah, dude, it's on a podcast. Don't say that.
Well, I'm getting like a visual of like the Jack Black School of Rock movie, except you're gonna like assemble these kids to put out your next Becoming the Archetype metal album.
Oh my god, how funny would that be?
It's awesome. Schooling them first.
It's a 30-year-old Seth with a bunch of 14-year-old shred like geniuses that are all at his Lutheran church and they're all meedle, meedle. That'd be hilarious.
Hey. Whatever gets the job done, you know what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah, man, I will tell you, actually, the weirdest thing is that a lot of these kids don't care about, like, playing guitar does not seem to them like something that's cool. Like, that's not, it's weird, like, that's not something that teenagers think is cool anymore. Like, when they found out I was a metal band, they're like, oh, that's neat, and then it was, like, on to the next thing. Like, they listen to music very passively. Like, they don't get into music and know the band names of you know, the names of the band members. They just kind of, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
that's bumming me out, man. That bums me out.
I went to a winter retreat with the youth one time at our church, and I was shocked that the kids, they didn't listen to anything modern when it came to heavier music. They only liked Ronnie James Dio.
I was like,
it's almost like it goes along with like theological things, like, oh, you can only listen to the classic metal too, you know.
somehow it
stemmed into that, you know. It was really weird. Like these little preteen kids were like in the Dio.
If you made a list of all the metal vocalists out there that a youth group would be listening to, I think Dio would probably be all the way on the bottom. I didn't expect that.
I think it was just a fluke thing that the cabin that I was in with the 12 young kids, like, you know, three or four of them were into Dio. It was just random. But it just made me laugh. Really...
Holy diver!
That's hilarious.
They were certainly not impressed by, like, you know, whatever I was name dropping I was doing that day.
Yeah.
You guys into the Melvins?
That's hilarious.
I'm the cool adult.
They were probably like, no, I haven't seen that TV show. Is it good?
Yeah, the Melvins.
Is that on Adult Swim? I never heard of it.
The Melvins was filmed in front of a live studio audience. No, it's a band, you idiot.
I was like, I'm the cool older youth guy you can look up to. No, dude, you're not.
No. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I want to talk to you about. I want to hear the full story. I want to hear the story.
Okay.
When you guys came up with your mask, this is going to sound like I'm just totally throwing myself out there to be cool, but I'm trying to prove to the kids that I'm the cool youth guy, right? when you guys actually came up with your mascot, like, pretty much
at my
house or near the time that you stayed at my house one time.
Yeah. Because
you did the pull back the wig tour or something, right?
Yeah. So, in
go ahead. Go ahead.
Let's see. 2008, we did a series of hair themed trilogy tours. So we did.
I remember some beard thing with you guys for a while.
The first one was bring your own beard, and so we did your own beard tour. And the tour poster for that was the first, you know, of what became our mascot, Clifton, where it's the skull, but it's got a beard on it, you know?
Right.
So he first appeared there. Then later we did the Born with the Mustache tour, which is pretty good. So we, like, the tour poster for that.
A lot of pervs showed up for that one. Like,
yeah. It was like a little kid with a big, bushy, you know, caterpillar mustache. And then the third tour, the Peel Your Wig Back tour, which was just, that was a dumb name for a tour, but it fit with the hair.
I love it.
That was a dumb name for the tour.
I applaud it, man. There's something ridiculous about that.
You're right, Travis. We were at your house, and it was at that time, you know, we started thinking, dude, we could use that thing, that image from the tour poster as like a recurring BTA thing. Like, that could be something that is more than just that one tour poster. So we had talked about making it our sort of unofficial mascot or something, and we wanted to give it a name.
Nice.
And we were at your house, and we were, I guess it was you that said, you know, like, you could call it Clifton, because is that your middle name, Travis?
Travis is my middle name. Clifton is my first name. And you guys,
you
guys were looking at all these insane pictures on our freezer. We have a meat freezer downstairs where, you know, you store all your hamburger and stuff. And we have, like, some funny stuff on there. And one of them was something with my name on it, and it said Clifton Travis Turner. And I forget which one of you it was, but you were like, one of you was like, who's that? And you pointed right at the name, and I was like, that's my first name. My first name is Clifton. And you guys were like, you're all like pointing and laughing at me. And then later on, you guys were talking to me, bunch of dicks, and you guys were talking to me about naming the mascot, and I was joking. I was like, you can name him Clifton. I was just trying to make you guys laugh. Fast forward to the future, Jason Wisdom told me that there were like 5,000 kids in South America going, Clifton, Clifton.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
that was awesome.
That was pretty, it's a really good name. It's kind of, because we were thinking, like, you know, who is it? Iron Maiden has, like, Eddie.
Yeah. That's what I was just thinking about, actually.
Yeah, it was like, you know, you need a name that doesn't have to be, like, a super, like, crazy name. Just a normal name for this character that keeps showing up in different incarnations, you know?
So, would have been really rad if you did a couple records with that in place and each one had that, like, visual, sort of like Iron Maiden, how they always have them on the cover with... doing something.
Well, yeah, he did. The IM album cover was like, it was kind of, it almost looked like a watercolor.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
And that's nice. Well, and that's kind of what MX, we were all MXPX fans back in the day, and they did that too with the Pokonacha Punk, you know?
Right.
That guy. Clifton worked out really well, so we even, you know, we have some t-shirts we did with Clifton on the front with a baseball cap.
Yep, I have one. I have one.
The back says Clifton.
The back says the back. It's a 3/4 sleeve baseball jersey from the 70s, and the front of it is a BTA. It's Clifton with the two baseball bats for a skull and crossbones instead of arms.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a like a mesh trucker hat. It says BTA on it. The back says Clifton where the name would be, and there's a giant 10 because I guess that was from the 2010 tour, right?
Yeah.
I have it upstairs. It's one of the more uncomfortable shirts I own, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like walking around with a giant name tag on you, right?
Dude, it's like putting a hot plate on your chest.
I bet.
Oh, man. But I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I have to wear it. My name is on it.
So funny.
Yeah.
That's such a funny connection, though.
I was named after my dad. If my dad could only see the legacy that his name lived on, he'd be like, oh, what is this crap?
Watch him. Yeah. That would be it. He'd be like, a bunch of music I don't like.
Yeah.
He'd be like, so ashamed of you.
That bony guy needs a shave. Yeah. Yeah, I can hear him now. Okay.
Oh, well.
Seriously.
Well, yeah. Go. Yeah, we can be eternally thankful to you for the name of our mascot.
You're more than welcome. You're doing more with my first name than I am. I don't even use it.
I just write it
on checks and stuff, so I don't even need it, really.
Oh, okay.
Travis is going to repay you by growing that beard in real life.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not allowed because of my job. I'm telling you, I'm already getting the hair. I'm on my way with the haircut. I'm starting to look like
he's growing it on his chest.
Just get hired at a church, man. Churches are okay with facial hair. It makes you more like Jesus, right?
Yeah, right on, man. That's a good point. I already wear sandals and flip-flops all the time. That's a good point.
There you go.
Terrible.
Seth, thank you so much for your time. You get this guy, for the listeners that are, I always say listeners at home or wherever you are, I guess it doesn't matter. You're listening, so you know you're listening. Seth took his lunch break to talk to us. He's working, so he could have did something better than talk to us. But he helped us out, man. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I haven't talked to you since, I don't remember the last time I spoke to you, so it's really good to hear you, man.
I know. I text you and give you a hard time all the time about fantasy baseball and then your 49ers being horrible.
We almost made it. We almost made it without you talking about, forget it. Podcast canceled. You're fired. Get out of here.
We're going to stay on for a few more minutes.
He's like, I just emailed somebody. They're covering for me. So anyway, about the Niners.
Anyway, about how much you suck as your team. Yeah.
Using a biblical connection, talk about an exodus. Oh, my goodness. Dude, there's nobody left over there.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's bad. It's bad. I feel so sorry for you guys. I really do.
Shut your lying mustache-laden mouth. You're such a liar.
Clifton has spoke.
I hope.
All right, guys.
I hope you and Marshawn Lynch fall off the Space Needle.
Hey, Seth. Nice meeting you, man. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you. Very cool, man. Very cool.
Yeah, come back and talk with us again.
Yeah, and you know, when you guys get this thing up, just let me know, and I'll put a link on Facebook pages and Twitter and stuff like that.
Right on.
That'd be great.
I'll get you all that stuff. Take care, man.
Cool. All right. See you guys.
Later.
Take care, bro. Take it easy.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Almost made it. Almost made it out without a football top.
Stars and push the moves along. Sometimes it's standing with the song. Still I don't feel at home. I don't understand this. When I write, I do believe I am creating within the master plan. If I go, can I get back again? Will I long for everything I've lost? There are so many things I just don't want to miss. Still I think I'll
it was cool talking to him.
Yeah, it was.
Cool. Yeah. We'll have to have him on for a full hour and a half, 2 hour extravaganza.
We should do a Becoming the Archetype. We should wait and see if Becoming the Archetype's actually going to do something, and then get them all on. Dude, how amazing would that be?
Yeah, I'd be down with just going around and get them all. You know, at some point they all sound like nice guys. So
Duck's hilarious too.
I never had the opportunity to hang with them, so it'd be cool to do it now. So. Yeah, cool show.
Duck looks like you're in the Duck Dynasty.
I know you're talking
name's
about
Duck.
Yeah.
Not Willie and not Jace, but the younger brother,
Jeb. Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of him.
They're. They could be twins, and I posted that. I was like, I can't be the only one that's ever seen the similarity before. He basically responded like, "Dude, shut up!" Like, I've heard that 10,000 times. I don't want to hear anymore.
I bet people come up. They probably run up to him to get his autograph, and he thinks they're Becoming the Archetype fans.
He looks so much. Yeah, right. He looks so much like
soccer moms are like in the Becoming the Archetype. So I, you know, one thing we haven't been doing, but I want to just take the time to do it right here at the end. I want to encourage people, aside from what's in the notes of our show, to stop and take a listen to my podcast that I do. I do a show called The Tourist Trap, and we put the show notes together, and it's in there. But I'd just like to actually ask you guys to check it out and click the link. And if you're into like music and weird sort of things that are on vinyl from the 60s, and I don't know, just a bunch of random weirdness and edited together in a fun way, like, definitely check it out if you're into that sort of avant-garde musical thing. I think you would appreciate it. I haven't been doing a lot of new episodes because I've been devoting a lot of time to parenthood and this podcast, but I'm still putting them out, you know, periodically. So check that out. And you know, Trav's got a cool website where he posts a bunch of random stuff.
My name is Trav, became Discography, and just a place with a bunch of links from all the stuff that I've been involved with.
Crap. But, the last time I was on there, you were posting stuff about you know, different drummers and
yeah, it was like my drum nerd hangout thing, and I just can't keep up with it. So it's gonna become more of a Discography and what I'm doing. I do drum correspondence recordings out of my little pathetic studio here in my house. Yeah. And I'm constantly recording with people. People sending me MP3s from all over the country, really. And working with whoever wants to send me something for practically dirt cheap nothing, and I'm recording drums for them, and kind of trying to do a little bit of the producing end of things with some of the local guys. But as we record stuff, I'm just gonna put up what I've been doing and link it to the SoundCloud or Bandcamp or wherever it goes, and it'll just wind up being like my musical resume more than anything. But check it out. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff on there that maybe you never heard before. Yeah. Go check it out, and then anything related to the show. You know, we're pretty small, we're pretty modest. We don't have a lot going on when it comes to like nothing huge, but we would love to hear from anybody about anything, like any feedback. If you guys even want to tell us we suck, we already know, but I mean, it would be if we want to hear from somebody else too. As the story grows at gmail.com is our address. And anything that you guys want us to talk about, anything you guys want to hear us stop talking about, any feedback that you want to give us. Anybody who you think you want us to try to talk to, I mean, within reason, don't say Bono. I can't get Bono. But, like, you know, somebody on this level that you'd like me to go after so we can try to talk to them, I'll give it a shot. I'll talk to anybody, dude. I don't care. So
you know.
Yeah, we're also on we're on Twitter at As the Story Grows. It's Travis. He runs that. I'm on there at All Things Sarro, S-A-R-R-O. And also visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/As the Story Grows. And last but not least, check out our record. We have a band going on Teachers, and we have a record. Yeah, remember that? We have a record called A Human Comedy, and it's on vinyl and MP3, and you can get that at veritasvinyl.net. So check that out, and yeah, if you're into heavy, weird music, you'd probably dig it.
Yeah.
That's about all I got. Now I got to be going.
I don't have anything else either.
Yeah, I'm going to go to bed. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm tired too. I got to go put this Coliseum on my phone. I'm going to go drop cable.
Oh my god, gross.
That was great.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.